All right, the Shilling Show rolls on. David Murata joins us, president of Murata Wealth Management, online at muratonmoney.com. How did the U.S. ruin its own fiscal health? What a sad story, because this was all avoidable, at least greatly avoidable. David, welcome back to the Shilling Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so the first thing I want to get to is our own drop in economic freedom. If we could just briefly give the background of this index and how much we're going down.
Yeah, we use the Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedom. They've been running since 1995, and just measuring, they measure the economic freedom in every country in the world, 200 or 300 of them. And they measure them on 12 different indicators, and they measure them on a score from 0 to 100. North Korea, I think, gets a 3 or 4 or 5 or something like that, you know. And the freest countries are up in the 80s, and they're considered free. So you have the 80s that are free, the 70s that are mostly free, the 60s that are moderately free, mm-hmm. the 50s that are mostly unfree, and then the 40s and below, which are downright repressed. So you know, that's the scale they measure them on. And they measure them on 12 different factors. And we use that for our investing, because we found that countries that are high in economic freedom generally have a bonus over the EAFE index, Europe, Australia, mm-hmm. and the Far East. We just think it's a good investment strategy. Economic freedom correlates with a lot of other factors. So it correlates with the rights of women and other political freedoms and things like that. But economic freedom is a specific component that just makes sense for investing. And recently, you know, the United States, in its latest 2022 freedom score, has its worst freedom score ever.
Ever.
Yeah, so it is worse than it's ever been. Mm. In 2010, the United States fell out of the free category into the mostly free category.
So from the 80s into the 70s?
Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly right. And that was largely because of things like Obamacare and cash for clunkers and bailouts and things like mm-hmm. that. That was the last time we did, you know, bailouts from the 2000 era. And in this latest round, we're down at 72.1, which is at the bottom of the mostly free category. And we're trying to figure out what that means, simply because the score that really tanked us the most is physical health. Mm-hmm. And it's because we have printed 40% as much money as ever been in existence. So we've printed this since 2020. Yeah.
So this requires a huge exclamation point. The amount of money we've printed in our entirety, 40% of that has been done since March of 2020. Is
correct.
That?
Yes.
So
yeah.
So that's an astounding, a mind-boggling number.
Right. Yeah, it is. And as a result, our physical score dropped to zero.
Okay.
So and that's strange, because having a score of zero in physical health, that's countries like North Korea, Lebanon, Maldives, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Venezuela,
wow.
Zambia. You know, those are all the countries that have a physical health of zero.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe we're going to come back from that. But before you come back from it, you need to know what caused it and how you can change it. I was reading recently the Washington Post had an article about what should the White House do to combat inflation. as though the White House is fighting inflation, you know, against this terrible outside
monster.
Yeah, monster. You know, and the White House is our savior who's going to be fighting inflation. You know, it's kind of a myth.
We've lived through this before, David. You remember those buttons back from the Ford era, the whip inflation now, win?
Yes.
Like we were going to, this is the same history repeating itself. It's utter stupidity. And yet we have people that are believing that this is the role of the government.
Right. It's Gerald Ford all over again.
Or,
you know, pretty soon we're going to go back to the Nixon administration and have price controls.
Biden was talking about that in his State of the Union. He wants to control the price of pharmaceuticals and other things. Let's stop the prices. Let's limit them to this much.
Right. And there's another component of freedom index is called monetary freedom, which we found to be the most important component. So
what is that? How do we understand
monetary
that?
Freedom is basically inflation and price controls.
Mm-hmm.
If you have high inflation or you have price controls, both of those are very bad for monetary freedom, because monetary freedom needs to have a stable currency. And that's part of just doing business.
You know, this is crazy. And when I think about inflation, I guess we ought to start here for people who have been either brainwashed or never really got a straight story in their education on what inflation is and what it isn't.
Yeah, so a lot of people think that inflation is simply that prices go up. Mm-hmm. That's a side effect of inflation. Inflation is an increase in the monetary supply.
The inflation of the, monetary supply.
Okay. Exactly. So, you know, if you think about it, what causes prices to go up? It's those evil corporations, and you should just have price controls. You know, but what causes an increase of the money supply? And that's government. Government is the only one who can control the money supply. If you and I try to control the money supply, that's called counterfeiting. And that's against the law. So the only one that can legally increase the money supply is government. And government is fully responsible for inflation. Rather than government being fighting inflation, government is an inflation machine, just cranking it out as quickly as they can sometimes, simply because it's free money to them. And it's a 15, you know, a 7.5 to 15% tax on you and I every year for the money that we are holding. It kind of makes holding money a ridiculous thing to do.
And yet some people, for whatever reason, they feel like they need to hold some cash. Maybe they have a cash business. Maybe they're concerned about putting everything into the market when the market's going down because they're constantly drawing on cash. So how do we address that?
I understand that people need to have enough money, and we recommend you have 5 to 7 years of safe spending in something stable in bonds. Mm-hmm. Beyond 7 years, though, inflation really begins to take place. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at inflation, we're looking at like 45 years of inflation. Mm-hmm. And in 45 years of inflation, inflation will eat 88% of your money.
Wow. So that's astronomical.
Yeah.
There's some other thing that we've talked about previously, and I want to bring it back up here, because what you're being told by the media about inflation, things are actually far worse than that, because there are certain things that are not included in inflation. And these are the things that seem to be the most relevant to people in their day-to-day lives. So let's talk about how the official rate of inflation is figured and what the truth might be.
Officially, inflation is often done by the CPI index. There are probably better indexes, and there's a case to be made that the CPI index is undermeasuring inflation. Even if it's just undermeasuring inflation by 1% since the 1995, you know, that's a good 30% inflation now. You know, that we hasn't been measured, and so Social Security recipients are getting 30% less. Government payments are getting 30% less. Your tax brackets are now 30% lower than they should have been, you know, simply because all these things are inflation adjusted, and they're always inflation adjusted to the CPI index. And in 1995 was when they changed the way that they calculated inflation. They said at the time inflation was over measuring, and now it's way under measuring. And they said things like, well, you know, if beef prices go up, people don't just buy the same amount of beef. They buy less beef if beef prices go up. So
we're not going to count that.
Right. They switch to chicken. So they put in formulas about that. And if chicken prices go up, they switch to tofu. So now we're all getting, you know, priced on tofu. They call that component of the CPI index is called creative substitution.
Wow.
And then there's another one, and that is every year your computer is more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to buy a new computer today, well, it's, you know, it's 100% more powerful than it was yesterday, and that's 50% deflation.
So we're going to knock the number down and say because you're getting more computing power, then your inflation is really less.
Exactly right. So what it leaves is it leaves people on Social Security, you know, living digital lives in a buggy whip at technology, you know, because they can't afford the new technology. Because simply it's priced out of inflation. And they call that one hedonic deprecation. Because you're getting more hedonism. You're getting more enjoyment out of the things you are buying. And so they're going to deprecate that in the index and all that. So, you know, these are, you know, when I started writing about this, you know, back in 2000, and it just seemed like it was science fiction. It seemed like I was not saying anything that was reasonable. But all these things are factored into inflation. Now, you know, you're seeing those effects over long periods of time. And now it's blown out of the water, partly because the things that they are measuring are now in the index. And so those have gone up tremendously.
We got to go to the break here. We continue on the other side. David Marotta is our guest, and The Shilling Show will be right back as we continue this conversation. By the way, 977-1070 is the phone number. Stay with us. All right, heading into the final segment of The Shilling Show with David Marotta. We're talking about inflation. Michael writes in, what does Mr. Marotta think about the breaking highs in gold and other precious metals? Are these investments? How should we look at them in this time?
So the short answer is the correct allocation to gold is zero. simply because gold is too volatile, so it's way out there on the spectrum. Plus, on average, it just keeps up with inflation. So the better investment would be the stock market. The stock market is not as volatile as gold, and it does more than keep up with inflation. It actually has a return that's over inflation. On average, stocks make about 6.5% over inflation. Gold, on average, just keeps up with inflation. But gold bugs will always try to measure inflation from the, or measure gold prices from the last low, not from some reasonable period. And you can always make an investment look good if you measure it from the last low. But you can't, but gold, on average, is too volatile and doesn't keep up with
inflation. You talk about the volatility. Maybe you could get into that just a little bit more, because, again, I'm not sure people follow over the long term. They just look at what gold's at right now. But yeah, what do you think about that?
You know, I bought my wedding ring in 1982 at a gold having a relative high. It cost $650, I think, for my wedding ring. And then for 22 years, it went from $800 per ounce down to, I think, 200 and something per ounce. A loss of that amount over 22 years, just going straight down, is not a good investment. And nothing you could say would make me think it's a good investment. You want it, you know, even the stock market, it has a bad year. It goes down 20, 30%. It doesn't lose, you know, 80% of its value over 22 years. It's just, it's not a good retirement plan. So so that's what I mean by volatility. Its volatility is off the charts, but its average return is just going up by inflation. There are periods when gold can go up because it's a flight to safety, but a better flight to safety would be the stock market, especially if the stock market is going down. When the stock market goes down, we buy more, not less. When the stock market goes up, then we sell some of the stock market. We put that money in safe bonds for the next 7 years worth of spending.
There was a story recently about the leftists and their plan to battle inflation, and a lot of it was just, if not every single one of these, was just laughable. So let's get into what the left thinks, and I think this was exhibited by Joe Biden when he said, "Oh, if you want to keep inflation, just cut your costs, just cut your costs." And I'm thinking, this guy is so out of touch. So what are some of the ones that came up here in this article?
So the Washington Post had 12 ideas, one of which was correct, and that was stop spending.
Okay.
that was the one that was correct. But the other 11 were just bad ideas. One was make America produce again, as though the federal government can hold a gun to industry's head and make it produce.
So there is a way for this, but it's not forcing them to do it. It's getting rid of something.
If you would have incentives for people to produce, then you would do that. But some of the other stuff on their list will take away all the incentives that they have.
But even their own policy, they want to do a minimum corporate tax now. And instead of saying, hey, let's eliminate this and let's get people over here, they want everybody to so there's no safe havens.
Right, exactly. They just want to raise taxes across the board.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, next.
Number two is control the pandemic.
As if they hadn't been trying to do that the whole time.
Yeah, you know, I think the government has largely conceded that they can't control the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of suspicion today that it might have been better if we had not had all the lockdowns and we had let the economy just go on. There are some countries that did that and they fared okay. You know, and obviously us locking down and being, you know, triple vaxxed and quadruple vaxxed didn't really help us from catching it. We caught it anyway. And just giving people choices would have been better and you would have had a lot less backlash.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know all the science behind it, but it didn't seem, you know, it seemed like getting the information out there was helpful because the people who needed to protect themselves did and the people who wanted to isolate could. But letting people go to work would have been a valid solution to all of that. Plus, you know, the pandemic is not causing inflation.
No.
And all the liberal Schadenfreude of having other people who are gleeful sometimes about them having the disease is also not helpful, too. It kind of created a backlash in the United States against unvaccinated people that was just uncalled for.
Yeah, and that was amplified by Joe Biden in some of the remarks that he made. You know, this next one here, I'm not sure if it's the same one on your list, but invest in childcare. Anytime I ever hear the government talking about taking my money and quote-unquote investing it by giving it to somebody else, I want to throw up or worse.
Yeah, government investment in childcare is simply offering a new entitlement program for women to join the workforce. But if you look at it, the stats are that women, especially for kids under six, shouldn't join the workforce.
Right.
They would be better raising their children.
Mm-hmm.
as the CDC says, CDC, I love quoting the CDC on something that's not about vaccines.
Yeah.
The early years of a child's life are very important for his or her health and development.
Yeah.
Having a safe and loving home and spending time with family, playing, singing, reading, and talking are very important.
Yeah, and it was interesting because also hearkening back to the State of the Union, they want to get the government wants to get their hands on your kids at younger and younger ages. This was another one that they wanted to have a pre-K going down to maybe 3 years old, you know, government-supported pre-K. So,
yeah,
you know, this is dangerous in so many ways.
I'm not sure why liberals don't follow the science and let kids be raised by their parents for the first 6 years.
Or even let them be born.
Yes. Number four was tax wealthy investors. I mean, tax the rich is a powerful mantra among liberals, but how this is going to help stop inflation, taxing the rich has nothing to do with inflation.
And the other thing, this is a little diversion, but I got to get to this with you, because he said something about we're going to build this economy from the bottom up. And I'm thinking the people at the bottom have no capital.
Right.
They don't have anything to build with. They oftentimes don't have much, if any, knowledge. That's not how you build an economy.
Right. And you can see the ludicrousy of this stuff if you put two of them together. Make America produce again by taxing wealthy investors.
Right.
This is not going to work.
All right, next.
Prepare for Fed intervention, de-escalate the trade war. That's mixed advice at best.
Yeah.
You know, trade war has nothing to do with inflation,
yes.
So I would throw it out. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's at least mixed advice. Improve America's supply chains. We've talked about it on this show. The supply chains are broken largely because of regulation that's
government
in place.
Intervention in the market.
Right.
Yes.
They're unionized for truckers in California. It's all ridiculous.
We're just about out of time, and I'm on a hard break in about a minute from now. So if people want to get more information on this, have you published a piece on this one yet?
I have not. I've been working on this one for a while, but I will publish it after this.
Okay, so go to maradaonmoney.com, and there's a lot of really helpful articles there. David, I wish we had more time you. But
Well, the next one is, inflation is a wildly overblown attempt to stop progressives.
So we're all just making this up in
exactly
order to stop these ridiculous policies that have gotten us all into so much trouble. Wow. David, this has been a very valuable conversation. He's online at maradaonmoney.com. And David Marotta, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.